Good morning and a blessed feast of the Ascension of our Lord. It is time for daily chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Acts chapter 1 verses 1 through 11 and St. Mark chapter 16 verses 14 through 20. The Reverend Dr. Matthew Harrison is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The first reading for the Ascension of our Lord is from Acts chapter 1.
First book of the Omnis, it dealt with all that Jesus
began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up. After he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, to them he presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter.
Afterward, Jesus appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached elsewhere, everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs.
This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Luke refers to his gospel in today's reading from Acts. And he writes to his friend Theophilus, lover of God, all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up. The clear implication of Luke is that there's more of Jesus doing and teaching even after the ascension. We see it in the book of Acts. And he's going to lay out the continuing story in the book of Acts. But there's more. It was the Asian tsunami. Quite a number of years ago, we were visiting numerous sites after that horrid event, visiting India, and I ran into a theologian, a very interesting guy. I talked to him quite a bit. We agreed on the nature of Christ's divinity and humanity. He even spoke in terms of sola gratia, which I was surprised at. I left him. Moved on down the road to the next sites. We stopped in Chennai. The worst traffic I've ever seen in the world, 24/7. And we went to a shrine high on a mount. There's where a martyr had, in 72 AD, according to tradition, been speared in the back and killed. His name was St. Thomas. He had landed in India, according to the best tradition, and nobody really doubts it. West India, came down the coast, and then went up bearing witness to Christ. on the western coast and died in Chennai, killed by essentially Hindus who had rejected his message. And he founded the St. Thomas Church. It still exists to this day, the St. Thomas Church, based on his witness. That's what the Lord began and continued to do through the witness of that great apostle. Luke's got his sources together like usual, just as he had indicated in his gospel. He's careful, he's accurate, he's forthright. He presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs. The word is better translated, decisive proofs. Appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. I was speaking to a liberal Protestant minister some years ago. She had performed a funeral I attended. She used a beautiful church's liturgy and talked about the resurrection, promised the resurrection in the verses quoted. After the funeral, I said, "Do you really believe that that body you just buried will rise again?" "Oh, no, I don't believe that." Then I said, "Well, do you believe Jesus' body rose?" "Well, something happened." The stark certainty of Luke is in harsh contrast. He writes precisely of Christ's death, resurrection, and ascension so that the Christian may be absolutely certain. In fact, in the very writing of his gospel in Acts, he fulfills Jesus' very words spoken to Peter and Paul and the others Luke no doubt interviewed. "You shall be my witnesses." And that witness is happening via Luke to this very moment, to this very day, right now, before your eyes. It should never be lost on us that no contemporary of the apostles who was witness to the events they experienced ever came forward and said, "I was with Jesus and those guys, and it didn't happen that way." Never once happened. And think, Luke tells us that Jesus appeared to many. Paul says he appeared to 500 at once. Nobody ever came forward and said, "It didn't happen." The eternal word humbled himself to be born of a virgin, suffer under Pontius Pilate, be crucified, died, and buried. Those acts are all yours. They were done vicariously for you, in your stead. The gift is done, it's completed. His perfect fulfillment of the law, both ceremonial and Ten Commandments, was done for you in your stead. That's why salvation is by faith alone. Faith grabs what somebody else has done for you. That's why it's by grace alone. Somebody else has done it. That's why if you're trying to please God by your actions and climb to heaven for eternity, it's like climbing up a rope of sand. It's never going to happen. It's done. Christ has done it. His exaltation began with his descent into hell to proclaim victory. He rose on the third day for your justification. The deed is done. His ascension is, according to Luther, the final act of liberation from the limitations to which the humiliation had subjected Christ within the created world. He now is above all creatures and in and outside all creatures. What is true of God is true of him. His session at the right hand of God is to reign with all divine power over the universe and to be present as the incarnate Christ in all and through all. He is present as the God-man to hear and answer your prayers. He is with you, God in the flesh, still man and God, and interceding for you with the Father at his right hand. And he is present in a miraculous sacramental way also today, but in word and water, and his very body and blood in a sacrament for the forgiveness of all of your sins. The gift of the Spirit is alive and well. The gift of the Spirit is for the word proclamation, witness. And we, like the apostles, ask, "When will you restore the kingdom to Israel?" And his answer is, "No one knows the time, but this world shall continue until the witness comes to the last believer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.